group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. We want to welcome you. We are so excited about what God has already done in the house, what God is going to do. We were here at 7:15 a.m. this morning preparing this sanctuary. We pray that you prepare the sanctuary of your heart to be able to receive what God has for you today. Glorious Heavenly Father, we give you full permission to work in our lives, to begin to bring us to a new level in you. You say in your word that you will cause us to move from glory to glory to glory. So, Father, as we worship you and spirit and truth, we thank you that you are going to move in power today, that you are going to change our minds, our hearts, that you're going to set the captives free, and they're going to bring healing in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. We just want to invite you to stand up and join us for worship. If you want to come up front, come up front. If you want to spread out, do whatever you want to do.
We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated, we are blessed. We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated, we are blessed. The city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated, we are blessed. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around, He's gonna work in your favor. Late in the midnight, God's gonna turn it around, He's gonna work in your favor. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around, He's gonna work in your favor. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around and around and around and around and around. We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated, we are blessed. We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated, we are blessed.
Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around, He's gonna work in your favor. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around, He's gonna work in your favor. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around, He's gonna work in your favor. We're blessed in the field, we're blessed when we come and when we go.
I know that there's more in this house than that. Praise Him this morning. Say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're blessed because God is able. Can I hear you say that? God is able. God is able.
Well, God is able to do just what He said He would do. He's gonna fulfill.
So willing in every circumstance. We just praise you. Can I just hear everybody just let the name of Jesus out of your mouth today? Just say Jesus. Say Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus paid it all.
Lord,
God is so great. He's so great. Amen. He's great in every season of our lives. He is awesome. And where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. Pastor has such an urgent, compelling message for us today. It's one that is so important for the presence of God to be in this place. And we know that because there's two or more in this place, that the presence of God has just covered this entire place. Amen. Amen. Go, as you go back to your seats, tell a couple people that God is great. Meet some people that you don't know. Don't go to the people that you always go to. Get up and greet somebody. Tell them God is great.
Why are you going that way?
Because I'm driving.
What? Hold on, wait for the car.
I can see.
Oh, man.
I get to pick where I'm going,
how I'm going.
You are going way too stinking fast, by the way. This is a 30-mile-an-hour zone. Oh my gosh. How much closer are you going to get to them?
They just need to hit their gas.
This is why I hate sitting in this seat.
You're not driving.
Clearly, but you're definitely driving me nuts.
Do you need the marriage encounter?
Because if you do, we have another one coming up September 27th to the 29th.
The first deposit of $150 is due by June 24th, but we have limited space available, so make sure you sign up as soon as possible. You can email me at PastorDan@HisTabernacle.com, or you can see her or me in person. Sign up today.
We've been supporting the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center by filling up the baby bottles with change. So you should have picked it up like this, and now it should look something like this. We're trying to collect all of them by next Sunday. So if you have some, please turn them in so we can get them to the right spot.
Hey, parents, are you over-coddling your child? Are you having issues within your family and raising your children? Listen, we got the class just for you in Step 2. Starting June 12th, we're having a family and parenting class at 7 p.m. for the next 8 weeks. Make sure you come out and learn how to be a godly parent and raise up a godly family. We'll see you June 12th, 7 p.m.
It's almost time for our annual Father's Day event with the Pioneers at Dunn Field. This is a great opportunity to grab your family, hang out with your church family, and spend the afternoon together. The game starts at 5 p.m. and tickets are available at the Hub.
Good morning, His Tabernacle family. We are so excited and blessed to have you here today with us. We are excited for what God is going to do in each of our lives. We are just so excited. I want to point out one thing about the Pioneers Father's Day game. The tickets are free, so please grab as many as you need for yourself and your family. They're right out front at the Hub. We also want to just take a moment. If you look to your left and to your right and you see an empty chair, many of our church family, it's a heavy traveling weekend. So we just want to take a moment and just pray for protection as they travel, visit family, and do other things. So if you just bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you that your angels are going forth now. They're surrounding and protecting every single family as they travel and whatever they do. Lord, we thank you that you will protect them and keep them safe so that they can be back here next week. So Jesus, we just lift you up. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. If this is your very first time here, we want to thank you for coming out and making that bold step to visit a new church. We always say that we want you to come three times before you make your decision. The first time, Pastor Spencer refers to it as white knuckle disease. It may be a little bit different than your traditional church that you've been to in the past, and you may be holding onto the seat in front of you so tight that your knuckles are white and may be a little bit uncomfortable. The second time, you're like, oh, I kind of like this place. And then the third time, your family. And you can never go back then. So if you're a visitor today, would you just lift your hand up and just say, hey, I'm right over here. We have a gift for you. We don't want to embarrass you. We want to just give you a packet and get you some information. We've got some over here. It's really hard to see right back there in the middle. Right over here in the front. Right over here in the front right there. Amazing. Well, welcome. Live stream, we want to welcome you as well. Family, can we just clap for them and just thank them for joining us online. Two more announcements and then I'm out of your hair. We have the Uproar Conference coming up July 26th through the 28th. This is our annual youth conference where last year we had over 1,200 youth and young adult come to the First Arena. We are reaching out because we want to give you an opportunity to serve at Uproar Conference. We're looking for greeters, ushers, media and sound help. We're looking for all sorts of areas. So if you are, like Pastor Rhonda said, she yelled at me first service. Not if, but we want you to get involved with the Uproar Conference. So reach out to Zach Ramsey or Pastor Cody, and they'll get you any information you need. And then lastly, today is the Awaken Monthly. That's for our our 18 to 30 year olds, we're going to be a little crazy today, and we're doing kickball slip and slide out in the front yard, and it's going to be out of this world. We're going to have a full service there too. So if you're between 18 or 30 or know somebody, make sure you invite them out. It's at 5:30, and we'll see you there. Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. We just got back from another Women's Encounter weekend. If you have not yet been to a Women's Encounter, we are going to encourage you today to make sure you go on a Women's Encounter. Could you just stand to your feet if you've been on a Women's Encounter in here? Pastor Dan, you have not been on Women's Encounter. No men allowed. Thank you. So we're just going to share... We're just going to share one statement about what God did in each of us this weekend.
God told me that in the past, the enemy has had more awareness of God's power in me than I have had that awareness of myself, and I can no longer let that be.
Amen. So God reminded me to go back to the beginning of when I first knew him and what it absolutely meant to need him above anything else.
Amen. God told me to share his love with his people and to share his gospel, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
So I don't necessarily have to see the target to hit the target.
And he had to be there to understand. Literally, this woman does not need to even see the target to hit the target.
Ooh, I forgot what I was going to say. What did I have? Let me come back to you.
Yeah.
All right, I'll come back. I had it right in my head.
Go ahead. Thanks.
That happens a lot.
Oh, there yeah. you go.
Well, God gave me wisdom. I did a short prayer on it, and I got wisdom big time. And then he told me that he loves me and told me I don't have to try to do things perfectly.
Amen. Okay, so God has showed me that he has forgiven me. He loves me. I'm restored. I'm healed. And I'm worthy.
I'll bring it to you. He broke my chains of guilt and fear and is now pushing me forward instead of going back.
Hallelujah!
God delivered me, restored me, and then I received the gift of tongues.
Amen! Hi, I'm sorry. He basically told me, just breathe and let me do what I do best.
Amen. 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 Amen.
God told me that it was going to be all right.
Amen. Hallelujah. And my one takeaway, Pastor Andrea spoke it, and it was definitely one of those moments where God just stopped and spoke. She didn't even remember speaking it, but I wrote it down quickly. You might want to get a pen and paper and write this down. It is so deep. And she said, it's not a sacrifice. It's the honor of obedience. Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. Would you encourage them to go to an encounter? Is it a waste of time and money? So sign up for the next encounter. We're entering into our time of tithes and offerings. Thank you, gentlemen. Tithing changes our relationship with money. How many tithers do I have in the house? And you understand, it changes your relationship with money, doesn't it? Tithing changes your relationship with money, changes your relationship with God, and it changes your relationship with the community. While tithing helps break down the thought that I'm in charge, because we know we're not, it answers the question, where does my security come from? Does it come from my money or does it come from God? Tithing changes your relationship with God. It changes your relationship with God in the manner of moving you from disobedience to obedience. And when we obey, we stand under an open heaven. And under an open heaven, that is financial prosperity. That is prosperity in our health. That is literally His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in heaven, there is no lack. There is no brokenness. There is no sickness. There is no disease. We need to change our relationship with God through our obedience and tithing. That way we get to walk under an open heaven. And tithing changes our relationship with our community in that we become a blessing and a part of change. It is so exciting to be a blessing to our community and a part of change to our community. Whether it's $5 or the $950 a week that it costs for buses and food for Matthew 25 program, it doesn't matter what the amount is. Everybody's part makes a change in our community, allows every one of us to be a part of the blessing. So we need to change our relationship with our money, change our relationship with our money through God and through our community. How many of you are ready today to change your relationship? Maybe you're already a tither and you're just going to reinforce your relationship with money, God, and your community. Stand to your feet. We make a supernatural declaration in this house. It is simply the word of God. We are declaring Deuteronomy 28. It's in the Bible. And we declare this over our lives. Repeat it after me. If I obey, then I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the fields. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty must cease. Oh, the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Amen. If you're blessed, shout amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So if you're still breathing, that's a good sign. Amen. So if you're breathing, shout amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Today, we've been speaking on, this is the year of divine connections. Turn to someone and say, you are a divine connection. Tell somebody else, you are God's divine connection. The last 2 weeks, we've been preaching about love and how the devil is working with diabolical disconnection to get the body of Christ to stop loving people. If we stop loving people, we'll never share the gospel. Another truth about not sharing the gospel is many people do not believe that we are eternal. The fact is that everybody in this room is eternal. Turn to someone and say, you are eternal. The thing is that because everybody's eternal, that means we're going to live eternally. You're either going to be with Jesus Christ for all of eternity, or you're going to be lost and separated from God for all of eternity. Today, I want to preach a message to you that you don't hear in many churches, and it's on the reality of hell. SWAT.
Hi, Dan. How was that conference you ended up going to?
Good, good. They actually made me a featured speaker, which was really cool because I've, you know, been trying to get myself known in the marketplace with my peers. And so it gave me a really good platform, which, you know, is just helping me kind of catapult my brand.
Excellent.
So, yeah, and we're involved with like 3 or 4 charities. We do some golf tournaments. All that stuff kind of just gets my name out there, right. Gets me a little bit more influence in the marketplace.
Right.
You know, we just joined that new church.
What church is that, Dan?
A Faith Center. Huh? It's really a cool church. I mean, everybody who's anybody goes there.
Oh, and yeah?
So, yeah, I'm kind of trying to get myself involved with some things that the pastor is involved with, so I can kind of have a little more juice, you know?
Oh.
So hopefully I can get some business out of that. So I give to the church.
You give to the church. That would be under tithing?
No. I'm not giving 10%. Oh, you know, I give them $100 here and there. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure I'm seen dropping it in the basket.
Gotcha.
So anyway, I mean, business is great. Life is good. Kids are good. You know, I think it's just really all coming together. So
that sounds great.
I think my life is perfect.
Perfect. Thanks for meeting with me.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh man. Where am I? God, hey, got you a little something. Whoa, hey, wait, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? No!
Hi.
Hi.
I see you're in the baby shower area.
Oh, yes, I am. Yes, grandchild number 10 is on the way, and we just found out it's going to be a girl, so I'm having fun because all the other 9 are boys.
Oh, is that right?
It is. So, checking all this stuff out.
So I take it you have a lot of family gatherings and stuff.
Oh, we do. You know, the traditional big gatherings for all the holidays at the house, you know, decorate all the grandkids. I just love it. I can't get enough of that.
Well, that's your Christmas is important. And
definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Everybody comes.
Yeah. Now, do you guys go to church on Christmas?
No, you know, it's there's so many people and that, you know, they come, some stay overnight. So you have all the commotion in the morning and we have a big breakfast, a traditional Christmas breakfast. And it really isn't a lot of time to do much other. The kids are opening their gifts and, right. You know, we just make a whole day of it.
Okay.
Whole day of it. Yeah.
So God is good for you then?
Yeah, I would say that. We have a great family. I just really, it's all about family for me. When I was a kid, we went to church a few times, but, you know, things change in life and, you know, Mary and the kids start coming and they take a lot of time. And now with all the grandkids, I babysit a lot and we do a lot of things together and you know, I believe there's a God. I believe that. I'm at peace about that.
You'll be going to heaven.
Oh, yeah. God, what everybody says, God is love. God loves everybody. So, yep, I'm a good person. I do good things. My family's great. I think we're all good. All good to go.
Good to hear. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
here. This is really different. I wonder what happened. Yeah, I was just sitting there a minute ago. Oh, you must be God. Hey. No, 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 there's a mistake. No, there's a mistake. No, 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 help me.
So thank you.
Hi, thank you.
So you just graduated from college?
I did. I graduated from University of Texas in Austin.
Yeah. Nice. Is that the Longhorns?
Yes, go Longhorns.
Okay. Good deal. So how are things going?
They're going pretty great. I mean, I graduated college with my bachelor's degree in psychology, and I just got my new house. And I got a car, 2017 Infiniti.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Setting right up, aren't you?
Yeah.
There you go.
Everything's turned out pretty great.
So your plans for the future are?
My plans for the future, for right now, I just want to travel around the world, see different cultures, just look around, see what's new. I mean, I've been in college, right after high school, I went straight to college.
Right.
So I'm trying to experience new religions, new cultures, things like that. And then eventually get married and have kids.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Now you brought up different religions.
Yeah.
So what is your relationship with God?
With God? Who is God? I don't have a relationship with a God or how people say.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I've done it all by myself. I raised up myself. As soon as I turned 16, I eventually started working, you know, saving up money for college. I paid everything. And up to now, everything that I have is because I've worked hard for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never received help from anyone. Just me, myself, and I.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations on your graduation.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you.
What happened? God, is that you? Is that really you, God? God, is that you? Is that really you? No, 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 I'm sorry!
If that doesn't raise the hair on the top of your head, not much does. Sadly enough, that's going to be more real than most people ever would want to think about when their time here on earth ends. Today I want to talk to you about hell, not to scare anybody, but I believe that the church has to have a revelation. What is a revelation? The Greek word is called apokalypsis. And the best way to describe that is if you have a bust or a painting and it's covered with a sheet. When you unveil it, you're able to actually see and understand what the picture actually is, what the bust is actually of. Today, the church needs to have a revelation that there is an eternity and that every single human being will end either in heaven or in hell. And actually, hell is just the nice place. The final destination is called the lake of fire. Every single human being, whether the people you like, the people you don't like, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, everybody you know, every single human being on this planet is eternal. If the church doesn't have this revelation, then we do not and are not compelled to share the gospel. This is real because the truth is, the majority of the church world in America no longer is growing. They're actually diminishing. Churches are closing at 9,000 churches a year. Why is that? How is that possible? Numbers haven't diminished. There are millions upon millions of people in America who have never once heard the gospel, who have been religious but never been saved. What's happened?
What's happened is that the church no longer is compelled by the reality that every single human will either be in heaven in absolute bliss with God, with the mercy and with the love and with the peace and with the rest and with the joy, or they're going to be separated from God for all of eternity and have the absolute opposite. Until the church has this revelation, then we're not moved to share the gospel. We're just here doing our nice little family thing, our religious thing. And that's nice. It's compelling. And I love the fact that we have family and we love each other and we can grow and we can be a body of Christ, encourage and strengthen. But the truth is that that's not just why we're here. The last 2 weeks when we've been sharing on love, when you really love somebody, you share the gospel with them. You've heard me talk about this, and I've said it multiple times throughout the years, and you'll hear me multiple times throughout the years to come. The person you hate the most is the one you will not share the gospel with. If you won't share Jesus with them, if you won't share the truth with them, I'm not talking church, I'm not talking religion, I'm not talking joining an organization, I'm talking having a relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who died on that tree, he rose again on the third day, and today he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. If we don't have a relationship with him, if we do not confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised from the dead, we can't be saved. And if we're not saved, somebody has to pay for that sin. For the wages of sin is not natural death. Let's be honest. Natural death is short. It doesn't take long to die. You can be 103 years old and it still passes in the blink of an eye. Some of you are in your 50s. Some of you are in your 60s. Some of you are in your 70s. I think one of the most mature ladies in our church, she's 93 or 94 years old. But you know something? I guarantee it went by just like a split. I remember when I was 14 or 15 years old, I couldn't wait to drive. Man, I can't wait to get out of my family's house. But you're out of your family's house, and then you realize, boy, that happened quick. Now you got to pay your own bills. Then all of a sudden, man, you're in your 30s. Then you're 50. It goes by so fast. You see, we so easily lose track. We lose our time. And it's time for us to get back in love, not only with Jesus, but to love people enough to be able to have a reality of hell, to share the gospel with them. You see, if you and I do not receive Christ, who paid the price for our sins, then we pay the price ourselves. Somebody said, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? God has never sent one person to hell. God has never damned one person to hell. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world by through him would be saved. Jesus paid it all so that we don't have to pay for our own. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for a friend. Christ paid it all so that we don't have to pay the price for sin that we should be paying. But when a person rejects the Messiah, when a person rejects Jesus, when a person rejects salvation, then what they're saying ultimately is, I am willing to pay my own price for sin. I am willing to pay my price with eternity separated from God. It's not soul sleep. It's not the annihilation theory. Jesus talked more about hell than he talked about heaven. Why? Because it's a real place. It's a real location that's really separated from God. And when somebody doesn't know Jesus, they are really going there. Well, I think it's hell right here on earth. Oh, then, baby, if you think this is hell, get ready and hang on. Because the real hell is something that is so horrific that not one person in this room, even the person you hate the most, you'd never want them to go there. You wouldn't even want to send an animal there. The amazing part is that God never created hell or the lake of fire for humans. The lake of fire was created only for one purpose, and that is so that Satan and all the angels, the diabolical demons that were cast down out of heaven with him, that all of those would be tormented, separated forever, therefore entombed in cage, so they no longer have freedom. That was the plan of God. But man with free will choice has chosen to say, God, I don't want your price paid. I don't want the blood of Jesus. I'm willing to pay for this myself. Sadly enough, many people don't even know. I think that's one of the saddest things. There was a young man, his name is Mark McComber. He's a pastor down in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania right now. He came to our church where we pastored the last time. It was, I believe, a Christmas Eve service. His wife had just left him because she felt she was a lesbian. He didn't know what to do. He'd grown up in a Methodist church his whole life. He came that night, and I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, that through the blood of Jesus, when you confess him as your Lord and Savior, you change from darkness to light. That you become the child of the living God. He gives you the power to be called a child of God. And that night, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And his life was changed for all of eternity. Now watch this. It's powerful. In all the years of being in that church, he had never heard the gospel once. See, this is not about a church or a religion. You can be baptized as a child and still not see Jesus face to face. This is about one thing. What the Word of God says, to have your sins forgiven. And when your sins are not forgiven, then you have to pay the price for your own sin. God would never send you to hell. But we choose to reject the free love of God and pay for it ourselves. Turn to someone and say, that's just not wise. Tell somebody else, that's just not wise. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, therefore leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Turn to someone and say, this is elementary, my dear. Let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Most believers do not actually believe they're going to stand before a holy God. How do we know that? Because of the way most believers live. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Many of us choose not to live right before God, not because we don't love him, although he did say, if you love me, keep my commandments, but because we don't really take for serious reality that we will be judged. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. So we've got to have this revelation real in our heart, not just for us to live right, not just for us to live holy, not just for us to be compelled to tell somebody how to not end up where we're going to be talking about, but also so that you and I will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if we take our last breath, I know I'm going to be with God. There are two judgments. Everybody say two. Tell somebody else two. If you have noticed, the second time I have you do it so I can take a drink. There are two judgments. First one is called the Bema Seat. Everybody shout Bema. Yeah. The Bema Seat of Christ is the judgment for the saints. If you're born again, blood washed by Jesus Christ, raise your hand and say amen. Yeah. This is your judgment. This is the judgment you're going to stand at. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. At this judgment, you are definitely going to heaven. Whew. If you're at this judgment, the Bible says that you're born again. You're not going to be judged for your sins. Your sins have been washed away by Jesus. He paid the price. Amen? You will be judged for two things. Your words and your works. Every single human being is going to stand and be judged. If you're a believer, you're going to be judged for your words, what you speak, how you speak, and your works. What are you doing for Jesus? Only the things that are done for Christ will last. You can acquire all this world's wealth. You can have the biggest house. You can drive Mercedes-Benz. The other day, walked by a Rolls Royce. Is that a beautiful car or what? You can own 10 of them. And guess what? You still can't put them in the casket. The only thing that's going to last is what you've done for Jesus. And the greatest acquisition that you and I can accomplish is people. You see, that's the only thing you can take to heaven with you is other people, is that people would receive Christ. So that way, when you stand before God, he'll say, well done, thou good and servant. The second judgment is called the white throne judgment. Everybody say, that's the bad judgment. This judgment here is only for unbelievers whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name will not be written in the book that is penned by Jesus himself. When your name's not in that book, then you can't go to heaven. Well, that's because you haven't received him. You've chosen to pay for your own sins. So at this judgment, the Bible says hell is going to give up its dead. And every human will stand before God, both great and small. We're going to stand before God, and this is what he's going to say. Open the book. The first book that's open will be called the Book of Works. Every sin you've ever done is in that book. Every single sin. Well, how is every sin in that book? Because the Bible says that God is keeping records. Somebody has to pay for that sin. And because you chose, if you ended up there, not to have Jesus pay for that sin, he'll then say, open the book of life. He'll open the book of life and he'll say, is there a name in there? And at that point, your name is not in the book. He'll then say, depart from me, you wicked person. Cast them into the lake of fire for all of eternity, and this is called the second death. Every human, don't matter who you are, you'll be at one judgment or the other. That is not determined by mommy and daddy. That is not determined by your religion growing up. That is not determined by your own personal beliefs. That is not determined by your own capabilities. That is not determined by your sincerity. That is only determined by the blood or no blood. Salvation or no salvation. Accepting Jesus or rejecting Jesus. See, when the church actually believes this, then we're compelled to see those friends that you have. You know you have friends you've never told that you're even born again? Do you want to know why you haven't told them? You're afraid to offend them. You don't want them to think differently of you. Listen, what hell are you going to offend them to? One, two, or three? The fact is if they're not born again, they're not going to see Christ. And if you have the answer, the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If you have the answer and you don't share it, how cruel you are. If you see somebody coming to the place of loss, of crashing, and you don't warn them, you genuinely hate them. See, and this is where the church has to have a shift in life about loving people all over again. Because it's not loving people isn't that you're their best friend. Loving people is telling them the truth, for the truth shall make them free. You see, whether they accept the truth or reject the truth is not your issue. That's their issue. But if they've never heard the gospel, then how will they know? So today, hell is very real. It is a judgment that people are going to stand at. We had a woman in our church at one point in time. Her name was Sally. And Sally, she was living in Connecticut. That's where her and her husband lived. They were very, very wealthy. He was the one who built the bridges on Route 17. They lived in mansion. They had beautiful cars. They were connected to all the high hierarchy and higher echelon individuals in the state. She said her husband was sweet and kind to everybody, but when she got home, he often beat her. And one day she said to her husband, I have a strong pain on the right side of my lower body. And he said, suck it up. You're not going to the doctor. She's laid in bed, I think it was 6 or 7 days, and her appendix had ruptured. They took her to the hospital in emergency, and there on the table, she died. She actually had a death certificate to prove it. When she died, she said that all of a sudden she was standing with Jesus in eternity. And she was exhilarated. She said, Lord, see, she grew up in a Catholic home, went to Mass every single day. So in her head, she thought she was good because she was very religious. Jesus took her by the hand and took her to what was called a precipice. And she said, when I looked over, I saw this massive cavern. I saw this massive hole. And I saw fire and brimstone, like lava coming out of the volcano that's happening right now. She said, I saw people screaming and yelling for help. Somebody help me. Somebody get me out of here. And she said, the screams were just horrific. They penetrated her deep as she could smell what was called sulfur. Listen, very interesting fact that I just learned. Your body can acclimate to any aroma but sulfur. She said she actually saw a hand reach up and try to climb out, and it was drawn back in. She looked and there was flesh melting off the bodies. But the truth is, you'll never die when you go to hell. You're eternal. Anybody here ever have the flu for a week? You thought you were going to die. I can't move. I'm so weak. Just shoot me and get it over with. This is not a week. This is not a month. This is not a year. This is eternity. The agony, the pain. She said, Pastor, it was so horrific. She said, I can still smell the smells right now. Oh, that's right. You know her very well, don't you, honey? I'm telling the truth, aren't I? We actually have her testimony on DVD when she shared it to the church the last time. You see, this is real. She said, I can still smell the smoke. She said, it so drove me. I looked at God and I said, give me another chance, God. Give me one more chance. And he said, go tell them. Tell them the truth. She said, she went down. God brought her back. And while she was on the slab, they were actually starting to take the needles and stuff out of her arms when she sat back up, scared the doctor, she said. She led thousands of people to Jesus. The one thing you learned about Sally was this: it didn't matter who you were, she was going to tell you the way. Why? Because she tasted, she saw, she could smell. It was a reality to her. It wasn't just a religious concept that the church world has recreated. You see, this is reality. When someone dies and doesn't know Christ, they're separated for eternity, and they're locked down into the dungeons of hell, and they're tortured and tormented for all of eternity. It's time for the church to have a revelation all over again and to truly start loving people enough to tell them. If we don't tell them, who will? That's why we're here. You're not here to acquire. You're here to share. There's another man named Bill Weiss. He wrote a book called The 23 Minutes in Hell. God gave him a vision one night, and when you hear the vision, and you know, I can't do it the way he does because this is his testimony. He backs up everything he saw by verses. I mean, it's just powerful. If you get a chance, it's on YouTube. You can watch it for free. 23 minutes in hell. He said all of a sudden he was in hell. And he was in a cage. 15 feet high, 10 foot wide, 15 feet deep. Proverbs 7:27, chambers of death in hell. What's amazing, too, is that there are different levels of torment in hell. Certain sins receive certain torments. Here he is. He's in hell at this very moment, and he realized in this darkened cell, imprisoned, in this darkened cell, he was not hanging out and partying. Come on, you've heard it. You've heard everybody say, let's go to hell and party together. There's no party in hell. And guess what? You never see another human being again. You cannot talk to another human being again. One of the tortures of hell is the opposite of heaven. In heaven, you're going to be with your family. In hell, you're all alone. He said, as I'm there, I realize I'm not in this prison room all by myself. There are two demons. They look like reptiles. They're 10 to 13 feet high, and they're batting me around, and they're cursing God and cursing me. And he said, it was the most scary thing. You see, the opposite of peace is fear. If you've ever been afraid before, I want you to recognize that if you're in hell, fear is so compounded because there is no peace. There is no hope. It is only loss. He said the pain was horrific. He said, I was so tired, I just needed to rest. But there's no rest in hell. God tells us to enter into our rest. But the opposite of that is what hell's going to be. There is no sleep. There is no rest. Your body is tired. Your body is fatigued. You physically feel the way you did in your human body, yet your body is absolutely eternal. He said demons walked in and sliced at him, and literally like flesh his came out in ribbons, and it hung there. And he's saying, how am I not dead? Why? You can't die. You're never going to die in hell. He said two more demons walked in and one stomped on his head. He said, my intellect said I should be dead. My head was flat. He said, I don't know why I'm not dead. I'll tell you why. And he said, you never die. No matter how bad the torture is, you never die. No matter how bad the pain is, you never die. We just had bad news this week. We were in Florida, and we heard that a raccoon came in and killed all of our chickens. Came in, and we had four chickens, and one was brooding over nine of them, nine eggs. And Sophia was so excited to see the new chicks that would come out. And a raccoon got in there and killed all of the chickens and even ate the eggs. So Sophia wanted to see. Now, for those who don't know who she is, she's my granddaughter. She's two, right? I'm getting old. She's 3 years old. So I took Sophia over because, she wanted to see. I think it's good for her to see. So I brought her over, and about 20, 30 feet away, you could start smelling the stench of death. Y'all know what that smell is. You've driven by the dead deer on the side of the road. As we got closer, there the carcasses of the chickens, and the maggots were crawling in and out of the skeleton of the chickens. And I looked and I'm saying, wow, that is amazing. And you know what's amazing is that the Bible says that in hell the maggots will be all over your body and eating your flesh, but you'll never be consumed. He said all of a sudden demons grabbed him by the feet and drug him out of the cell. And then he could see the caverns. He said they were just like molten, like a volcano, molten segments. And he said people were in there and you could hear them screaming for help. Tell my family, help me. The pain, he said, is absolutely agonizing. It's unquenchable. You can't stop the pain. It's always writhing because you're eternal. You never die. It never ceases. Said he looked and he saw some with literally just flesh because of the fire hanging off their bones, but they don't die. Trapped, defenseless, absolute fear. See, hell is not this place that a lot of people have painted. And I think one of the travesties of the church is that we're not honest with people, because the people you say you love, if they don't know Jesus, they're going there. They're going there. And if we don't tell them, who will?
But it's really, the church has lost the love for people so much that it's really just about us sustaining ourselves, us surviving our own little lives, getting through our own little catastrophes. But here we've got to look at a bigger picture, that God has sent us here to give a message to people that there is hope. Jesus is hope, that you don't have to die in your trespasses and sin, but that you can have your sins washed away and be with Jesus for all of eternity in the absolute blessing of heaven. And God has it because he wants you so desperately. What happens when the church doesn't get this? Then we just don't tell anybody. We live our own little life. And people are damned for all of eternity. Can you imagine if someone didn't tell you? Can you imagine if you had a best friend and all of a sudden they're standing at the great white throne judgment? Now, this isn't going to happen. I'm just giving you an example. Standing at the white throne judgment and they look over and you say, why didn't you tell me? You knew this. You made it about church. Why did you tell me that I was going to be damned? Why did you tell me the pain? Why did you tell me the torture? Why did you tell me the loneliness? Why did you tell me about the hopelessness? Well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. I didn't want to offend you. I didn't want you not to like me. See, this is a sermon I don't think I preached in 6 years. Yeah, and the reason is because a lot of people don't like to hear this. But the fact is still the fact. If someone doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they don't go to heaven. We have a family right here, and I just honor you so much for being here. You know, we had that travesty, horrific event with Mikey. But you know what? I know that boy went to heaven. I know that boy knew God. It doesn't change the pain of what people feel here. But man, we don't grieve the same way people that are lost grieve. Because we know we're going to see him again. But if he had never been told, if you had never been told, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. See, this is the truth of the reality of the world that we live in. Everybody is eternal. Are we going to heaven or are we going to hell, which is the holding tank for the lake of fire? We've got to make a decision that when we get saved, we cannot go alone. We cannot go by ourselves. I love too many people. I need them to be with me. They need Jesus. They need the peace that passes all understanding. They need forgiveness and joy. They need God to move in their life. They need a relationship with the living Christ. You see, when we get a hold of this, it changes from being a religion to being really why we're here. That is that people need Jesus. Not just to get to go to heaven, but for the benefits of knowing him. Paul said it this way, I count all things lost for the excellency of knowing God. You see, when you know Jesus, you have that love, that joy, that peace, that patience. You have what you need. But too many of us, we forget that there is a hell to shun. And that the people we pass every single day, if they don't know, who's going to tell them? And I honestly, I don't want this to be a message. If you're saved, there is no fear about this. There should be a reality about this, but not a fear for this. Because if you're born again, you're not going there. Can I hear an amen? But we've got to have a reality of what they're going to experience, because if we really say we love them and care for them, we don't want them to go there. I'm just compelled because I know Christ is coming. You know, one thing you'll learn about me is I love end times.
I teach eschatology in Bible college. I know the word when it comes to the end time prophecies. I mean, when I sit there and start penning it on, it's a lot of fun. This is my joy. I can sit there and spew you the entire flow of history of where we're going, what's happening. There's no prophecies left to be fulfilled. This is what's happened. You know what? I became even more passionate in this last few years, and I'll tell you why. Because I knew many years ago that in 1984, they brought the cornerstones of the temple that the Jews are going to erect in Jerusalem so they can worship in the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period. They brought those four cornerstones from the Midwest all the way to Jerusalem, and they're waiting to be positioned so that they can build the temple that will fulfill the prophecy that will start to happen when the Antichrist shows up on the scene. To do that, they need a red heifer. They need a purebred red heifer. 25 years ago, they found the pure strain of that red heifer. The Jews have been breeding that red heifer at a massive rate because they know that at soon point in time, they're going to be again having the same type of sacrifices that they had in the Old Testament. What really rocked me was finding out that Turkey had the Ark of the Covenant. And that last year, the Jews bought it, and it was shipped back to Jerusalem. I don't know if you know what that means. That means the temple could be built tomorrow. When that is all in order, that means the rapture can happen at any second. And if the rapture happens, most people that enter into the Great Tribulation period will not be born again. In fact, if you're in this room and you've heard the gospel before and you've rejected the gospel or backslidden, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that you will never have another chance in the Great Tribulation period to be saved. You'll be lost. And this will be your destination, the lake of fire. If we, the church, if we, the church, are not compelled to save the lost, if we are not compelled to love people into eternity, if we are not compelled to bring the gospel that changes a life, if we are not compelled to let them know that without Jesus, they got to pay for their own sins, if we're not compelled, then who will be? And so many more people will be lost to the lake of fire than ever should have been thought of. It's time for the church to arise again and be the church of Jesus Christ and to get back to our business of who and why we're here. We're here to speak the gospel and see people saved. Some we play too much. God wants you to enjoy your life, but we play way too much. And again, I sadly enough, there are a lot of you I'd like to shake. Your influence you have is humongous, and you play with your level of influence. People around you aren't born again because they're watching your life. We've got to get holy. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We've got to start living right. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We've got to button up our britches. Amen. Put on our jackets and start walking. We got to make this thing happen. Because if the trumpet of God happens today, how many people do you know before the end of this service won't go to be with Jesus? That's powerful. There's no prophecies left. Literally, it's 12, 25, and 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. If he comes at 12, 26, there are some of you in this room that won't go to heaven. You'll be sitting here all by yourself because I know the preacher's going north. If you're sitting here when that trumpet sounds, you'll be lost for all of eternity. How many of your friends today are not in the house of God, not because they don't have a concept of God or even love God to their own capacity, but they've never been shared the gospel. You've never told them about Christ. You live their life instead of them living your life. Let that sit for just a second.
It's time to make a difference. Hell is not fake. Hell is not something that the church has made up. This is a reality of where people are going to end for all of eternity. And today, I just want you to recognize this. The fear will never cease. Pain will never be relieved. There will be no peace. There is no hope for the future, and there is no rest. But you and I have the answer. That is, with Jesus, all things are possible. That if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He washes your sins away. You are now been given the right to be called a child of God. You now can walk in the confidence of being in the kingdom of God. You're a citizen of heaven. You are an ambassador of heaven. You are truly saved. You don't have to fear anymore because you're new in Christ. How many people do you know? How many of you know at least 5 people that aren't going to heaven? Not everybody. Everyone knows at least 5 people that aren't going to heaven. Did you tell them? Have you told them? You're the answer. You're the key. You're who God is sending. I might never ever meet them. I'll end with this. There was a man in our last church. I've given the example before, but it's so good. He worked at the salt mines up in Ithaca, and he was a rodeo rider. And somebody invited him to church. So he comes to church, and he comes in with one of those long Australian jackets with a cowboy hat on, cowboy boots. He's in church. I give the altar call, and he gives his heart to Jesus. Man, it was awesome. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. He knew nothing, man. No church background at all. Came to church that night. God moved in his life. The next Sunday, I got to finish this. I'm walking out to the coat rack and congratulating him on Sunday morning and saying, man, I'm proud that you gave your heart to Jesus. And he said, hey, man, do you want to see my effing coat? And I said, yeah. Honestly, he's just so fresh and so raw in God. So he's been saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. God's starting to work in his life. That week, you know, he's working in the coal, in the mines, the salt mines, and rodeo rider, rough guy, you know, not honed up with God. Yeah, he's growing in Jesus. His first week, saved and set free, washed in the blood. He said, Pastor, I went to the bar this week. He said, I had a Coke. No Coke and rum. He said, I had a Coke. And he said, this guy came up to me and started pushing me around. He said, he wanted to fight. He said, Pastor, I want you to know, last week I'd have killed him. He said, but this week I just looked at him and said, and he said the guy was so scared he ran away. You see, when you give your heart to Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. As a believer, we never have to fear hell. We never have to fear the lake of fire. But we should come to a realization that if we really love people, we don't want them to go either. And if we are their answer, how horrific, how much hatred we have if we don't at least tell them. If you love somebody, you want to warn them. And today, if you're in the room preaching on a hot topic, thought that was punny, didn't you? Not everybody got that. That if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to heaven. You can be like Marge. It's all about family. You believe in God, but you've never accepted Him. You're a good person. You can be like Dan, just trying to make his way.
joined the church, came to church. Remember, going to church don't make you saved. Just like parking a car in a garage doesn't make you a Mercedes. Or it could be like that young lady. She didn't think of any religion. Doesn't matter where you start, it matters where you end. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, man, this is not a game to play with. This is not toy land. This is not, listen, eternity is fast. Eternity is fast. Eternity is fast. A blink of an eye, you're in eternity. You don't always have a chance to repent at that time. Question is simple. If you die today, do you know you go to heaven because you've been washed by the blood of Jesus? Or are you just hoping you'll go to heaven because you're good? The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. The Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is free. You don't even have to clean yourself up for him. He accepts you exactly the way you are and changes you from the inside out. He's awesome. But if you don't know the Lord today, I want to invite you to know him. Not know about him. Know him. I believe 5 or 6 received Christ in the first service. 21 young people gave their hearts to Jesus on Thursday night. But how crazy it would be to be in a service like this where the presence of God is and where the word is being preached and you walk out without your eternity secure in Jesus. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed so that it's private just between you and Jesus. Today, if you're not sure, if you take your last breath, you're going to heaven and you want to make sure, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. If you want to make sure you're right with God, thank you very much in the back. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else? Very much back right. Very good. Thank you, sir. Anyone else this morning? Come on. It is a heaven to run to and a hell to shun. Thank you, young lady. I can see your hand. Put it right back down. Is there anyone else? 5. Come on. I'm just going to count quick. Listen, you could be coming to church for 20 years and not go to heaven. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? If you've got to question it, then you need to make sure you reassure it. One more call. Anybody here need to make sure their relationship with God is right? 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4, 3. Come on, 2. Last call. And 1. Thank you, young lady. Let's all stand to our feet. Can I compel you this week as your pastor? Let's love people like we've never loved them before. You're going to come in contact with people that are not going to heaven today. It might be at the supermarket. It might be with your family. It might be somebody who walked away from God many years ago. And today I ask you to love them enough to share Jesus with them. Not religion, not church. Share Jesus with them. Share how Christ has changed your life. Share how real your relationship is with him. When you start sharing that, they can combat religion. They can combat church, but they can't combat the reality of God in your life. Next week, I'm preaching on heaven, a little bit more exciting. But you got to know about hell, too, because that's just as real as heaven. Heaven's stinking awesome cool, by the way. You're going to want to be here to know what you're going to be hanging out in. By the way, you get to, like, your spiritual body, which is really cool, will have no blood in it. Why is that? Because on earth, life is in the blood. But in heaven, life is in Christ. You get your glorified body. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sadness, no more fear, no more trouble. Oh, man, I tell you, it's going to be an awesome place. I'll see you next week with that. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to have the prayer team come up to the front, please. Prayer team, move to the front quickly. If I only see one moving, that's not quick enough. Very good. For those who raise their hand for salvation, can anybody do me a favor? Can you turn to the person next to you and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you want to go up, I'll go with you. Come on, ask the person right now. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'd like you to meet me right here. If you didn't raise your hand but you want to get saved, come on down to the front. Hurry up, be quick. Thank you, young lady. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. Very proud of you. It's going to be an awesome day. Come on, if you raise your hand for salvation, Very good. Have an awesome week. This young lady right here is going to lead you to the Lord.